The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Now, today is Safer Internet Day. People of all ages are encouraged to take stock of their internet usage and ensure they're engaging with the internet in a safe manner. Our technology correspondent, Jess Kelly, is with us now to give us some practical tips and also to answer your tech questions. You can text them to us, 53106, and Jess will do her best to answer them. So, Jess, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. You've got children or teenagers in your life who have access to a smartphone.
Yes, and there are a few things that you can do. Very often when people email this program and indeed Tech Talk, they say they feel powerless because their child is, you know, one of the only ones in the class that doesn't have a phone or is getting a phone. That conversation is happening. The thing to remember is that you're not powerless. There are things that you can do, but you do have to go out of your way to do them. The first thing I would state is that you don't have to give your child a phone. That you can hold out and you can get them what's called a dumb phone. So yeah. The old school Nokia phones, any type of button phone. A lot of them do have 3 and 4G access, but wouldn't have the high-res cameras and would be a little bit clunkier to use. You wouldn't be able to get Snapchat, for example, or anything like that. So that is an option.
So the text, make calls, would you have email?
You could get onto email. Yeah, you'd have a browser, but it would just be a little bit more cumbersome to get onto. So if your child says, and the question you should always ask if your child says they want a phone is, why do you want a phone? What do you want to
do? Because all the others have a phone in my class.
Okay, grand, here's a dumb phone for you. You'll be able to text and we'll be able to
all the others have a smartphone in my class.
Well, then that's a very different conversation. Once you go down the smartphone route, what I would say is, firstly, do not, your 12, 13, 14-year-old does not need an iPhone 11, an iPhone 10 or anything like that. You can get quite basic, but good smartphones. I'm always harping on about the Huawei P Smart. If you decide to get your child a smartphone, what I would recommend you do is you associate it with an email account you have access to. If it's an Android phone, you'd set it up with a Gmail account. Again, you have the password to that Gmail account. What that means is that you will be able to see the apps that are on the device. Why that's important is because firstly, it'll allow you, the parent, to download that app onto your own phone and see how it works. So if your child is on TikTok, Snapchat, anything like that, have a go yourself. Learn how to block, report, mute, screenshot. What happens if something goes awry? The other thing is then, if, and this happens, and we've had a few instances over the last few years, if an app becomes heavily associated with inappropriate material, cyberbullying or anything like that, you will be able to see that your child has this app and you'll be able to have a discussion with them and also then enforce a removal.
Okay, and we know about stranger danger, the people you might encounter online pretending to be somebody else. What about games consoles? Can you meet the wrong kind of people using, you know, internet gaming?
You can, and this is something that people... I think we all just think the phones are the devil and we don't think beyond that. If your child is playing on a games console, very often now when they're doing live gaming, there are chats that pop up on the right or left-hand side of the screen. Very often, if your kid is wearing a headset, they can be having conversations, just like a phone conversation, over the game with someone. And we've heard some, and again, I don't want to scare everyone, but that there are the horror cases whereby teenagers are having chats with people who are not who they say they are. And you may think, oh, look, they're just having a conversation while playing a game. What's the harm? It's the sort of coercion and the control that can come over long periods of time if someone is gaming for, say, 10 hours a day or every day across the week. It's something to be very, very mindful of. It's encouraged by a lot of the charities that work with children that a games console and a PC are kept in family rooms within the home.
Okay.
That is, you know, if you hear something that's a bit awry, go in, sit on the couch and, you know, put an end to it sharpish.
We hear a lot of talk about Coder Dojo.
Yes.
Is that a good thing, a bad thing that kids and get involved with?
Yeah, you know, a lot of parents, even parents in this building, often ask me about Coder Dojo. Coder Dojo are basically coding camps. Your kids can go along from a pretty young age and learn how to code, learn how to interact with technology in a positive way. They can build things, they can sort of facilitate their curiosity about how things work, why things work. The beautiful way I've heard Coder Dojo described a few times is it's kind of like Lego, digital Lego. It's very easy to do. And anyone of any age, I think you should give it a go because it's good fun.
Okay, we hear about sexting,
yes.
Which is sending and receiving explicit messages or images.
Yeah, this is something that we need to, you know, it's a really uncomfortable conversation. Nobody wants to have a conversation about sexting. The thing to be mindful of is if a child, and by child I mean anyone under the age of 16, is sending or receiving images of another child under the age of 16, it's very important to note that both parties can be done, will technically be in possession of child pornography. And that is something, you know, recently we've just heard some pretty incredible cases of people being prosecuted for what's on their phones. You need to be very aware of the fact that these images are classified as child pornography. Also, if you get an image onto your phone, and I've been saying this to adults recently as well, just because you don't have it on your phone, if you delete it from your phone, that doesn't mean it's not in your iCloud or your Dropbox or your Google Photos. These things sync up as soon as you can blink. So be very, very careful about what you have where.
There's cyberbullying, which, as we know, we've talked about it before, like normal bullying, but it all takes place online and it's vicious because there's a child isolated maybe in their bedroom and they're getting all this stuff coming in.
Yeah, and I think on Safer Internet Day, it's worth acknowledging that adults can be cyberbullied too. You know, it happened to me when I was in my early 20s. People who didn't like what I was saying about certain phones were hounding me online. And it's so invasive because it's the first thing you see in the morning and the last thing you see at night. And if someone is being cyberbullied, we do need to take it seriously, regardless of how old they are. And also, if you are somebody who is trolling another person, be it a child, a teenager, or an adult online, just stop.
Do you think people should remain anonymous online, just as we were taught in school around the late 90s? That advice seems to have fallen by the wayside with social media, but I'm adamant that it's common sense as a listener. I always remain anonymous online myself, including Twitter, as I value my privacy too much. What are your thoughts, Jess?
You know, it's an interesting question. I personally don't like the notion of anonymity. I think if you are out there, particularly on social media, and if you are someone who is putting out statements or giving your opinion or arguing with someone else's opinion, we should know who you are, what your background is, what stance you are coming from, all of that kind of stuff. So in that instance, I don't think anonymity is a good idea. If you're on Google, that is a personal choice. You may not like personalization, all of that kind of malarkey, but that's up to you.
Okay, now, screenshotting stuff. If you want to capture something,
yes.
It's kind of a useful thing to do. If it's something nasty and you want to nail someone for that nastiness,
yes.
And on Instagram it'll go, but you grab it with a screenshot while it's there.
Exactly, so you can grab things. So it's very easy to do. It does differ depending on the phone. If it's on an Android phone, very often it is pressing the volume down button and the lock key button at the same time. It'll capture it and the image will be saved to your screen. If you're on an iPhone, up to an iPhone 10, if you press and hold the power button and on the right hand side and the home button, which is the circular button, it'll capture. And then for newer iPhones, it's the volume up button and the lock screen button at the same time. Those images will be saved into your gallery and then you can take action.
Now, a few things you can do. You can image dump, get rid of a lot of nonsense on the phone.
Yes, indeed. Again, if you have access to the email account that is associated with your child's phone, you'll be able to go to photos.google.com and see the images that are on the phone. What a lot of the charities and the organisations that I work with from a child protection point of view say is that do it in the form of a conversation. So once a week, ask your child to turn over their phone, do an image dump, so go through the images that are on the phone. If there's anything inappropriate or untoward, you can have a conversation. Do a contact sync.
Yeah.
This is something that you may think, here, what's the point? But it is very much worth going through and seeing who your child is interacting with, from a text message, a WhatsApp, a Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok point of view. And if you don't like someone that's there, or if you're unsure about it, again, have a conversation and you can always delete.
Finally, Jess, there's an initiative from An Garda Síochána with the big internet providers,
yes.
And they're going to police basically access to child porn sites. And if you do happen to come across one of these and you try to access it, up pops a message.
Indeed. So if someone tries to get access, as you say, to one of these websites, a message will come up from An Garda Síochána saying this website has been identified as housing child abuse imagery, and you won't be able to get to the content. It won't fully block every website contains this type of content.
But the ones they know about, they will pass on to the internet providers.
Yes.
They don't get your data, by the way, from the internet providers. If you inadvertently come across some of this stuff and you get the warning, Big Brother is not capturing you.
No, they're not going to say this person's IP address tried to access this. It's more about informing users, because you can stumble upon the wrong thing. It's similar enough to what we saw around the time of the Pirate Bay thing, in that it's just a little block that comes up, and it's with a view to try to limit the circulation of these child abuse images.
Finally, Mobile World Congress.
Yes.
I see that, who is it? Sony and Ericsson separately, and Amazon are not going because of coronavirus.
And neither is Jess Kelly. It's not going to happen. This is one of the biggest tech events. It takes place in Barcelona every year. It'll be going on from February 28th for a few days. And an email was sent out last week from the organisers of the conference saying, look, we're still going ahead. Some people have backed out. If you're coming, just don't shake hands with anyone. And that made a few people sit up going, I'm not sure about that. So as you said there, some of the big, huge players have backed out. We're expecting more over the coming days. There's still a question mark over whether or not it's going to happen. But many people are now backing out.
Mm. And if you want to catch the latest Samsung phone,
yes,
you don't
indeed.
Have to go to Barcelona.
You don't. It's going to be launched in a matter of hours. It's very exciting. It's thought to be called the S20. It's going to be their flagship phone. I think the official launch is taking place in San Francisco later on, and we will have full details as it happens.
Jess Kelly, thank you very much. Tech Talk is happening
Saturday evening at 5 and podcast first on Friday from noon.
Jess Kelly, thank you very much. That's all we have time for. If you want to hear more from the show, download the new Newstalk app. My thanks to the team, editor Emer Bradley, producer Owen Brennan, researchers John Casey and Shifra Mulqueen, broadcast assistant Anne-Marie Kane, and Cormac McDonough on sound. Next up, Lunchtime Live with Ciara Kelly.